It's always kind of hard to know what to preach when. You know, you have to make all those decisions, not like it's a burden, but you have to decide what you're going to preach on Sunday morning and what you're going to preach on Sunday night and just try to work through all of that. And so tonight, this would be a really, really good lesson for Sunday morning because we have so many more people here on Sunday mornings, but we're going to deal with this tonight. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 is a chapter that I am pretty familiar with because I grew up in Alabama, and the covering was constantly a major issue of discussion back at the home congregation where I grew up. But 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't deal only with the covering. I want you to skip on down. You're probably familiar with this because we read it so often. It has to do with the Lord's Supper and the problems that they had with the Lord's Supper. So I want you to look at verse 27 and begin reading with me. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks or eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what does he mean by the phrase, not discerning the Lord's body? I'll tell you what he means. He means not thinking of the individual members of the congregation of which you're a part. That's what he means. That was the problem that they had. He's not talking about thinking about Jesus on the cross when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. The unworthy manner that he's talking about in this context is some were taking it before others, and others were being left out, and they were not thinking of their congregation, all of the people in the congregation, as comprising the Lord's body. Now, that's really significant. It's really important because that's what we're supposed to do, too. And I think sometimes, not just with the Lord's Supper, but with a whole lot of things, we can get off track in thinking about the importance of our local fellowship with one another. And that's why we did everything that we did in Ephesians when we went through the whole thing. The half the book of Ephesians, when he talked about what he talked about. And that's why we referenced a couple of times Ephesians chapter 1. He gave all things to him who is the head, even the church, which is his body. Right? Same point. Same point that's going on here. So, that is an introductory thought for tonight's lesson about our leaders, and tonight's lesson about our elders. What do you and I think about this body? This is the body of Jesus Christ. This is the body of Christ that we're here tonight representing. And so we need to do some, if we haven't done it, and I think we have, do some really serious thinking about how we think about our worship services, about the people that we worship with, about the relationship that we have with one another, which is what's going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it certainly goes on when we start thinking about the leadership that we have. I have no idea what your personal circumstances are, but I do know that a whole lot of people in this congregation have been members of this congregation for a very long time. And the elders that we have here, although the eldership has changed since I've been here, there have been people who have passed away, people who have moved away, you know. But this congregation, since the time I've been here, has had wonderful leadership, still does. And it has from the very start of its beginning back in 1969. This congregation is blessed. Have you ever been to a congregation where the elders are really not what God wants. They don't lead like God wants. Now, I haven't been very much in that position a whole lot, but I have been in that position. And what it does is it makes me think of how thankful I am to be here and to be part of this group. It's hard to imagine the difficulties, and we're picking up on the phrase, the body of Christ, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's hard to imagine, if you've never been a part of it, to imagine the difficulties if the leadership is not leading like it's supposed to lead. If it has elements of selfishness in it, if it is self-willed, if it is not humble, if it is not seeking the best interest of the flock that it's supposed to be leading. We'll look at a few passages tonight out of the Bible that talk about that. And I'm so glad if you've never experienced that. I am so glad for you if you never have, because you never want to. It's just nothing. It's no fun. It is just disturbing is what it really is. So when we think of our integral interacting relationship, all of us, every one of us, as the body of Christ, there's one thing that we owe our leaders, or a few things we're going to talk about tonight, that we owe our leaders based upon that relationship that we have with one another. And when I read this in verse 29, and it says, not discerning the Lord's body, The word discerning means to calculate the proper value. That's what it means. When he talks about that in the original Greek, that's what the word meant, apparently. We are not calculating the proper value of the body of which we are a part. And so whenever, I should have said that at the very start of this, but we pick it up now. So whenever we're thinking about what we're thinking about as we talk about the eldership and we talk about leaders and everything tonight, that's really some of the things that we have in mind. We need to appreciate what they have to do. We need to appreciate their work. We ought to understand it. We ought to understand what their work is, and we ought to give appreciation for that work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Work is work. Work is always work. And leadership is work. We know that that's the case. But if we've never been in that position, we might not know exactly how much work it is. I've never been an elder. I don't know what the burden is that's on their shoulders. But I've been around them a lot, and I can see a pretty good bit about that kind of thing. And then he says, be at peace among yourselves. But this, just this passage, I want you to esteem them, and I want you to love them. I want you to respect these people that admonish you in the Lord because of the work that they deal with. So I just decided to write down, well, that's in the next slide. When we talk about esteem, talk about respect, and we talk about appreciation, Jesus just makes this point. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except among his own hometown and among his relatives and among his own household. So I hope you and I never ever get to a point in our lives that we don't give men that are leaders the proper esteem that they deserve. I'm just asking us to think about it. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. You know, I'm just saying that we need to do that. We need to do that because of the relationship that we sustain to one another. And here's what I put with all of these different things. If you just sat down with a piece of paper, or you never do that anymore, on a computer, and you started writing down what an elder's job is, boy, it covers a lot of different things. And I just wrote some of this stuff down here. And obviously there's some overlap with a bunch of this. But they are guides and they govern You ever thought about how they govern? Times that they meet with people, we don't know that the meeting ever took place. We don't know who they met with. We don't need to know any of that, but they carry the burden with that for a long time. And they console, and they rebuke, and they encourage, and they pray, and they feed, and they educate, and they teach, and they comfort, and they listen, and they counsel, and they're an example, and they're protecting of us, and they're vigilant on our behalf. On and on and on it goes. 24/7. They don't get weekends off, of course, you know, all that kind of thing. So I was trying to think of how to, for me, how to just get this in my mind. And don't get me wrong with my illustration here. But when you've got a teenager and they're 13 years old and you wish they could understand, you do all of this for them all the time, you know, right? Every single one of these things you do for your teenager. But they kind of don't know it. I mean, they're just not in that place in their life where they understand that you do all of these things. And then so many times it takes them being a parent of a teenager, and then they come back and say, oh man, because I did that with my folks. Well, just think about the work that elders do, how often they do it, and how much it is on them. We're all part of the body of Christ. We all have different functions. We have different roles. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that. Evangelists, pastors, prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and then whatever else might fall into that category. And we're not going to be that role, but they are. And we just need to appreciate, I think, what's going on with that. Then the second thing that we need to do is respect the fact that they're accountable before God in a way we're not accountable. There are just a number of different passages that deal with this. And Hebrews chapter 13 is one of them. In fact, we're going to notice a couple of things out of Hebrews chapter 13. And we've gotten in the book of Hebrews, we've gotten to the end of the book. And the whole book is this right here, is it not? The whole book of Ephesians, or of Hebrews, is about the elders that are the overseers of these Christians that are wandering off, need every single one of these things. So that's why he says what he says there with that. So he's trying to get these Hebrew Christians that are wandering away, the sheep that are leaving, to obey. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. That's why you and I as sheep need to respect and obey the elders. They're leaders. And we need to submit to their leadership. And in submission to their leadership, we need to understand the kind of accounting that they're going to give in this whole thing. We're not going to give an account about them. Not in the same sense they're going to give an account about us. When we go before God, we're just not going to have that in our lap, but they're going to have it in theirs. For instance, you have sheep that are, he says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Groaning from stubborn and disrespectful and obstinate sheep. Sheep that for some reason don't care. Sheep that don't understand the accountability that the elder is going to have with all of this. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and in verse 18, and I realize in a way an elder is not in the same position as Ezekiel the prophet, but then in a way they are in the same position as Ezekiel the prophet. Here's what God says to Ezekiel. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning. If I say to one of the flock of your congregation that the sin that you're committing is a sin and you're surely going to die, and the elder gives them no warning, if we could just replace it like that. Nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways in order to save his life. That wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood will be required at your hands. Do we understand and appreciate that's what our elders are doing? They have taken the blood of every soul in this congregation on their hands, in a certain sense of the word, and they have decided that they will be accountable for that. And so when you go back to the Hebrews 13:7 thing, he says, I want you to submit to those that have the rule over you, that are going to be held accountable, so that they can be able to do that with joy and not groaning. So you think about how that's supposed to work. Wouldn't it just make sense, as it does make sense, as he's talking about this, that we want to put ourselves in a relationship with our leaders who are going to give an account for our soul, that they will be able to do it happily. And that God, as he looks down now at us as a congregation, as the body of Christ, he wants it to be working in the kind of way that produces a joyous congregation because of the willingness of the people to submit appropriately and happily to the leaders so that they won't have to groan in the leadership that they have to exercise. Of course. There's just so much more to than sometimes we might think the interlocking relationship that we have with our leaders. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the whole chapter is about the shepherds of Israel. And, you know, Ezekiel is in, he's the captivity prophet. They've been hurled off into Babylonian captivity. And it's like the deed is done now. They are paying the price. They are suffering under judgment. But he has a lot to say, not just to the people who used to be leaders and have died not doing their job, but to the people in captivity who were not doing their job. And we could read the whole chapter 34, probably good to do that. But verse 2 says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Remember the previous thing? If people are going to be guilty of something, their blood's going to be on their head, but if you don't tell them, it's going to be on you. So here's what he goes on to say. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy. And say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? And he just goes on and on into the responsibility that any shepherd has over the sheep, that our shepherds have over us, and it's all about accountability. So what we want to do is we want to respect the level of accountability that our elders have decided to take on their shoulders. And we want to make it easy for them. We want to make it easy in the sense that they just don't have any problems with us, and that our attitude is good, and that our participation is good. And that when they have their conversation with God, like when we have our conversation with God, it'll be a really positive conversation, right? Then, another thing that God says that we're supposed to do is we're supposed to give them accountability. Give them accountability. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he gives Timothy some very specific things, which we're going to note right here. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. That is just standard procedure in God's Word. It's not going to be one person against another. You know, there's going to be the two or three witnesses, which is appropriate with that. Then in verse 20, as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. Who's he talking to here? Well, he's talking to Timothy. He's talking to the local preacher. So, in a sense, he's talking to me. But there's a level of responsibility that all of us have in this. And so, you know, I just say that a couple of things that could be said about this, not the least of which is, elders are not lords. The Lord is the Lord. Elders are shepherds, and they're human beings just like us. They will make mistakes just like we make mistakes. And we can't, because of their leadership, not hold them accountable, just like they can't, because of their relationship with us, not hold us accountable either. There's always mutual accountability for the sake of the congregation, that the congregation holds each other accountable. Then I want you to notice verse 21. I want you to notice how he words this. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels. Is he trying to make his point firmly here? He is invoking every divine authority that exists to Timothy. I charge you, and that's a proper military term, to keep these rules without prejudice, doing nothing from partiality. So, you know, we all are governed by exactly the same standard. That's the wonderful thing about God's Word. Elders govern by the standard of God, and we govern elders, or not govern elders, but we judge elders and deal with elders by the same standard of God. So, here's another thing that we as God's people are supposed to do. We're supposed to make sure our elders are held accountable by the standard of God's Word, without any partiality. Then, the fourth thing is we've got to measure them, which is obvious from what we just said, by the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, so we're back in that verse, it says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you, the Word of God. That's the key. Then, as he continues on in the same chapter, I just want you to notice the context. He goes on in verse 9 and says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those who were devoted to them. He's talking about leaders, talking about elders. He's talking about submitting to these elders. And then right on the heels of that, he talks about people being led away by strange teachings. That's what elders prevent. It's people being led away by false doctrine. People being led away by the most current fad or whatever. They are stable figures that know their Bible and that are committed to that, and that we make sure they're committed to that. We're all making sure that we're all committed to that so that this kind of thing doesn't happen. And the whole book of Hebrews is revolving around a dire consequence that these people were walking away from their salvation. I mean, it is crucial that they do what they do. And so I think that's why he ends the book of Hebrews with these specific kinds of admonitions about that. So, I mean, it's just really, really important that he connect, as he does, the idea of remember those leaders and then don't be led away by strange teachings, which is what happened with them. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, as he's talking about the requirements of an elder, he says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. We hold our elders accountable to that. They hold us accountable to that. There's this obvious overlapping that we have to honor God's word, because that's where the truth comes from. So this is just really crucial, and it's just really fundamental in regard to all of that. It's like, I mean, in Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Okay, if our elders aren't speaking the truth, we need to point that out. If they're not speaking it in love, we need to point that out. If we're not speaking the truth in love, they need to point that out, because it's a command for everyone. And in that sense, we become what God wants us to become in our lives. And then, well, I got Jeremiah here. I forgot about this slide. You have neither listened or inclined your ears to hear, although the Lord persistently sent to you all His servants, the prophets. Now, the reason I bring that up is we keep talking about the Word of God. It is constantly emphasized all the way through the Old Testament about how many times the Word of God has been sent to these people, and it is the key to their spiritual health. It's the key to their spiritual well-being. We know that that's the case. So I got online and I got a list of all the prophets, basically, that God had sent up to the time of Jeremiah. And some of them are writing prophets and some of them are not writing prophets. But I'm just saying, when God says, you have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear, although the Lord has persistently sent to you all His servants, the prophets, God is constantly giving people His word, constantly. So it's not like we don't have it available to us with that. It is such a great thing to be able to be a preacher at a congregation where the elders are dedicated to the truth of God's Word. Can't tell you how that is. It's just amazing. It's amazing how many problems God's Word solves when people don't obey God's Word, that just creates other problems. Then the last thing, this is our last thing, we need to pray for them. We need to be really on our knees with their names on our lips. We need to be praying for those elders. We're back in Hebrews 13 again, right? We've noted, this is the third passage that we've seen in Hebrews chapter 13. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. And there's one of the leaders, whoever wrote Hebrews, whoever it was, is writing to these people and he says, please, please pray for us in this whole thing. So here's our last. What they need from us is they need us to appreciate them, and they need for us to respect them, and they need for us to give them loving accountability, and they need for us to measure them by the truth, and they need for us to pray for them. And so the last thing I say is a new year is upon us. Just, we're right on it. And maybe this hasn't been clear to us. Maybe it hasn't been as clear as it should be. Maybe it's been totally clear to us. But, you always start kind of anew as the new year comes around. Here we got a new year. So let's kind of invoke some of these things if we need to and think about our elders in the right kind of way. We owe it to them. God wants us to do that. So if there's somebody here tonight that is not a Christian, we would love to help you obey the gospel. And if we can pray for you, come to the front while we stand and sing.
moment. Eric will close us in a word of prayer. Hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see you at midweeks, or we'll see you next Sunday.
Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come before you tonight. We are so grateful for this time that we've had to study, to learn about you, to worship you, to hear a lesson from your word.